Welcome to Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. I'm Kate Burdett. Coming up, it's almost here, the 62nd annual Columbus Arts Festival, returning to the downtown riverfront on the Scioto Mile next weekend. Jamie Goldstein from the Greater Columbus Arts Council joins me to talk about this year's festival and a new public art initiative the council is undertaking. And Jay Fox of the Ohio News Network chats with Herb Gillen, organizer of the 2024 Columbus Air Show, coming up June 14th through the 16th. Plus, Doug Petcash of Face the State will have a look at state politics. First up on Columbus Perspective, the Columbus Arts Festival is returning for its 62nd year to the downtown riverfront on the Scioto Mile Friday, June 7th to Sunday, June 9th, with more than 250 visual artists, four stages of live music, and more than 40 food vendors. The Columbus Arts Fest makes it easy to support your favorite arts all in one place. Here to talk to us about what we can expect this year is the VP of Marketing and Communications for the Greater Columbus Arts Council, Jamie Goldstein. Welcome, Jamie. Tell us what is new and exciting this year at the Columbus Arts Festival.
Hi, Kate. Delighted to be here. We are so excited about next weekend. I can't tell you. New and exciting at the festival this year. Well, there's always new artists, right? We got a lot of returning folks, but there's always something new to see in our exhibiting artists and our big local artists. The Bicentennial Park stage is back because they just reopened the fountain in that park with lots of great picnic tables and seating. And so we're super excited to be programming that stage again. We've got Josh Krajic and Angela Purley on that stage on Friday and Saturday. And so we're super excited for that. We've got some new accessibility features for the festival this year. We're working with the city with their wet stations, so you can refill your own water bottle. And that's great. We've got Momentum Refresh, which is a company out of California that helps caregivers with adult and with folks with adult changing needs. So it's air conditioned and a little bit more space than our kiddo changing station, which is also back thanks to Nationwide Children's Hospital. We have a sensory tent that, thanks to Autism Society of Ohio, where if people just need a break from the crowds and all the colors and the fun, there's a place on the west side of the river where you can go and just relax and sort of decompress. So we're super excited about new accessibility options and all of our Columbus-based performers. All the performers this year are Columbus-based, Central Ohio-based, and we just have a tremendous lineup on our four stages.
It sounds massive. For someone that maybe has not yet experienced the Arts Festival, just how big are we talking? What is the size of your footprint?
The entire riverfront. literally from Town Street down to Main on the east side of the river and all the way across both the Rich and Main Street bridges and all along the west side of the river sort of wrapped around Kosai. The perennial favorite, the hands-on activity area, is back in Dorian Green with more activities from local arts organizations and others offering really fun things for families and kids to do. So it's big. Put your walk-in shoes on. I don't want to say this, but bring an umbrella just in case, and that'll actually protect us all against the rain. You know how that works.
Yep.
We go rain or shine, though. Unless the weather is super inclement, we will be there working, and the artists will be set up. We've got so many tents down there. We basically assemble a mini city in the course of 3 days, and so. There's parking available on both sides of the river, the Commons Garage. There's new garages on the west side of the river. You can really come in from anywhere. The festival is free, of course. And so just, come on down and enjoy our beautiful gallery on the riverfront.
Absolutely. It really is just a massive art gallery and so much fun. The emerging artist program that your organization runs, what can you tell us about that?
The Emerging Artists Program is something we started, more than a decade ago. It is for Central Ohio artists, so Franklin and contiguous counties. If they've never exhibited in a major outdoor festival before, they can come in so our jury program works by medium. So artists apply in glass or in jewelry or in ceramics. Emerging festival artists get to just sort of come in under the Emerging Festival Artist umbrella, and they're juried against other folks in that category. And we make it a little bit easier for them. They don't have to have a professional booth shot. We do boot camps for them so they can learn more about sales and the thing that can help make for a really successful festival experience for them. And we have a number of artists who have gone through the Emerging Artist Festival program and then in subsequent years jury in within their medium. And it's truly competitive. For our juried program, we get over 900 applications from across the country and multiple countries. And it's super competitive. And so it's really delightful for those folks who want to continue working in festivals. Festivals aren't for every artist. But if they really love it and they have a great experience, they come back and they have great success. Kate Morgan, who's a good friend of mine, amazing 2D mixed media artist, she was one of our first emerging artists way back when, and she has gone on to tremendous success in festivals across the country, and she regularly gets juried back into the Arts Festival, and she'll be there this year too.
The 62nd annual Columbus Arts Festival returning to the downtown riverfront on the Scioto Mile Friday, June 7th through Sunday, June 9th. Talking with Jamie Goldstein, the VP of Marketing and Communications for the Greater Columbus Arts Council. Now, Jamie, aside from the festival, GCAC is really busy throughout the year, and I understand you're working on a comprehensive public art plan for the first ever public art strategy in Columbus and Franklin County. What does that mean for the future of public art here?
Well, we are delighted to be leading this process. Public art is really sort of at the top of everyone's minds. It is something that draws tourists to cities. It's something that generates dialogue. It can bring neighbors together. It can enhance neighborhoods. We've just seen the power of public art in the community. And you know, Columbus was the last of the 14 largest cities in the country without a comprehensive public art plan. So about a year ago, we set out to remedy that, and we hired a wonderful firm called Lord Cultural Resources to work with us through a year-long process to create this plan. We started with sort of an environmental scan. We looked at 23 other cities that are doing public art really well, and what they're what's working, what's not working, how they're funding it. One of the biggest things that we are hoping to come out of this plan is that we'll have a sustainable funding source to create more public art each year within Columbus and Franklin County. So launched a state of the art plan, or the state of the art report, in February of this year. That wrapped up all of our public engagement comments and surveys and key stakeholder meetings that took about 6 months last year. And we had more than 2,000 surveys completed. We had a survey in 8 languages, and we heard from people. 87% of people really think public art is important and they want to see more public art in Columbus, but only 56% of them get to see it on a daily basis. So that means we have gaps to fill. We need to bring more public art to more people in Columbus. We need more and better representation from people of color and from women artists. We need to really embrace Columbus-based artists and get them commissions to create art in our city and in Central Ohio. And the plan, as it's coming together, is going to hopefully help us do all of those things through education pieces and toolkits. So we're really excited.
It is exciting. And it's really just adding to the existing public art here in Central Ohio. Jamie, not to put you on the spot, but where, first of all, can we find out more about where certain public art is available for our viewing and enjoyment? And while you're at it, can you give us some tips? What are your favorite public art pieces right now in the Columbus area?
So ColumbusMakesArt.com is both a cultural event calendar and a public art database. If you go to ColumbusMakesArt.com, at the top, you'll see public art, and you click on that link and there's a map, and you can search by artist. You can search by type of art if you want to see murals or sculptures or installations. And then we've also set up curated tours. So tours by neighborhood or by theme that people can explore. We have a great series right now with artist Adam Hernandez, who is also a muralist, and he's doing really fun curated tours with other artists, and they're picking their favorite pieces and going around the city and sort of showing those off. And so that's a great way to sort of introduce yourself to public art in the city and start to explore neighborhoods that maybe you weren't even aware there was public art there, but it's out there. We have more than 1,500 pieces of public art in Central Ohio, and we can't wait to grow that collection.
And among the collection, what are some of your favorites?
Well, I love the deer downtown, mm-hmm. the yep. Scioto Mile deer. There's three of them. There's the one on the bridge that everybody knows about. Then in Genoa Park, there's one sitting on the steps with his leg crossed over his knee. And then there's one in the grass. And I just think those are so fun. It's just great sculpture. Over in Franklinton, there's a giant slingshot by Andrew Lundberg, who's a Columbus artist. And that's just off of Rich Street. That's super fun. And we have so many great, talented muralists here in town. Adam Hernandez is one of them. He has murals all over the city. April Tsunami, another incredible muralist. Mandy Kasky, she has murals you can see from the festival site. There's one on the back of the Junto Hotel. Whatever the form, I really love public art. The brand new one as of last year, current Janet Eshelman's piece downtown hanging over Gay and High Street is really not, you shouldn't miss that one. And you should see it during the day and at night when it's lit up because it's just spectacular.
All right. You gave us the website, ColumbusMakesArt.com, so that we can use that interactive map and find public art all over the community. Is that website also a great place to find out more about the Columbus Arts Festival?
Actually, that is a different website. That is ColumbusArtsFestival.org, and it has all of your festival information that you could possibly want. There's a gallery of artists you can link to, a page where you can download the app for your phone, whether it's an Android or an iPhone. You can get our digital guidebook and really see everything that's happening, performance schedules, anything that you want to know. We love the artist gallery because if you really love glass, you can sort out the artists by medium and sort of pre-shop, figure out who you want to visit and make a plan to make sure you get to their booth during the Arts Festival. Friday is a great day to come down, have lunch, especially if you work downtown. But if not, it's the crowds are a little bit lighter on Friday generally. And it is the time when art collectors and people who really are interested in buying art come on down and they start to scope out their finds for the year. The art is in all price points, from the big local artists to all the way through all of our juried exhibiting artists. There's really something for everyone.
There truly is. And in my opinion, the Columbus Arts Festival is the official kickoff to summer. I look forward to it every year. I know so many others do as well and cannot wait for next weekend. Jamie, we have talked about a lot today. Is there anything we missed?
I don't think so. Just come on down, bring your smiles to the Arts Festival, and we can't wait to see you.
Jamie Goldstein, the Vice President of Marketing and Communications for the Greater Columbus Arts Council. Columbus Arts Festival returning for its 62nd year to downtown Columbus, Friday, June 7th to Sunday, June 9th. We will see you there. Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks, Kate. The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan.
I'm Jay Fox, and we're talking with Herb Gillen, who is the event organizer for the 2024 Columbus Air Show, returning to the city June 14th, 15th, and 16th. Herb, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here, Jay. Thank you.
So Rickenbacker International Airport is the destination, and this is the second year in a row for this air show, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we came back last year after a 17-year absence.
So what marked the 17-year absence? Why was the show discontinued or postponed?
That's a great question. The air show in Columbus, typically they were on the Air National Guard side of Rickenbacker. Rickenbacker has the Ohio Air National Guard on one side and then the civilian side where Columbus Regional Airport Authority owns the space. Typically, the show was held on the Air National Guard side, and it would kind of be maybe an every other year show, and then sometimes it went to every couple years. It was sort of at the whim of the wing commander. Over the years, it just sort of they stopped doing it. And then there was some runway construction and other construction things going on down there, and then after a while, we just didn't have a show here in Columbus. Columbus was, up until last year, the largest city in the U.S. that didn't have a regular air show. So we thought it was fine time for us to bring it back.
So in the state of Ohio, other air shows would have been found in Cleveland and Cincinnati?
Dayton has a long history of having a great air show, the birthplace of aviation. Cleveland's another big show. And then sporadically, there's sometimes shows in Toledo. Youngstown has had shows in the last 10, 15 years. But Columbus was, kind of a mainstay of air shows for many years up until, the early 2000s.
One of the exciting features of this year's air show will be the return of the United States Air Force Thunderbirds. They last performed 17 years ago as well. Tell us a little bit about what makes the Thunderbird so special.
Well, that's America's ambassadors in blue. The Thunderbirds are the United States Air Force jet demonstration team. They fly the F-16 Fighting Falcon in the beautiful red, white, and blue markings. They'll have six aircraft flying in formation and will be as close as 14 inches of separation. They'll have aircraft that'll go close to the speed of sound, about 700 miles an hour. And it's just a marvel to see. They're the anchor of the air show's lineup.
So in addition to that, there are going to be demonstrations of other planes. Some will be historic planes. Others will be current use planes. Tell us a little bit about what patrons can expect to find.
Yeah. There's something for everyone there, in the air and on the ground. The flying, the things that people seem to be most attracted to are the military aircraft and the historic military aircraft. So on the modern front, in addition to the Thunderbirds, we've got the U.S. Navy's Super Hornet demonstration team, the F-18, which is a very popular aircraft demonstration. We also have got the hometown heroes, our own 121st Air Refueling Wing KC-135 Stratotanker. These are the gas stations in the sky, and they fly from right here at Rickenbacker. We also have just announced the F-35 Lightning II from Eglin Air Force Base is going to be doing some flybys each day. And they're going to be doing some formation work with the KC-135 to sort of simulate a refueling run. Our Super Hornet will also be flying with Corsair, which is a World War II aircraft, in what's called the United States Legacy Flight, which is a really cool thing that to see the modern and the vintage flying together.
Especially given that veteran who was found recently was just brought home to a hero's welcome from World War II, his body recently being identified, that'll bring a lot of attention to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of World War II and history, this June marks the 80th anniversary of D-Day. In fact, our show is 1 week after that. So we're going to commemorate that anniversary by doing something we're calling Battlefield Europe, where we're having ground, air, and reenactors come out and show what just a little section of the battlefield at Normandy might have looked like. So there'll be American and German tanks and aircraft and reenactors that will be showing what that might have looked like.
Now, folks are familiar with the concept of drag racing when it comes to automobiles. You're going to run a drag race in the air?
Barely in the air. Stole drag racing is something that is probably the fastest growing motorsport in the country. It started out west in these big, sort of cartoonish looking aircraft that would land anywhere in fields, and they've got big tires, and they will start off side by side, parallel to the crowd line, and they take off, but they only get probably 30, 40 feet up in the sky, and they'll go down a couple thousand feet. They have to land. They turn around. They have to come to a complete stop, and then they have to take off, and they go back to where they started, and the first one to come to a complete stop wins. And we did this last year, the Stoll Drag Columbus Cup, presented by Germain, and it was hugely popular. And we'll have a lot of those preliminary heats going off in the morning of the air shows, and then there'll be a little bit of that flying during the afternoon, and Sunday afternoon will be our finals.
The 2024 Columbus Air Show runs June 14th, 15th, and 16th, Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. I would be remiss if I didn't ask how much it costs.
Well, the great thing is there are a variety of ticket options, and you can go to columbusairshow.com. We have general admission tickets, which still have discounts available, but as tickets are sold, those prices do increase. We still have some premium seating left. All of Saturday's premium seating has sold out, but still have good seats in the premium seating area for Friday and Sunday.
Now, will there be food and beverage available?
Oh, absolutely. Yep, we've got anything you can imagine. You know, the fair food, all sorts of higher end food, and in our premium seating, it's Cameron Mitchell is our caterer there. So a variety of things, and I should also mention lots of things on the ground to see. We have our experience STEM area that NetJet sponsors, and where you can get hands-on and do, kids of all ages can learn about STEM and aviation. And we have a lot of static aircraft. We just are announcing today that an F-22 Raptor is going to be one of our statics that's just been added. But we'll have several dozen aircraft on the ground that people can meet the crews. In some cases, they can go up and even go inside the aircraft.
T-shirts, hats, and other souvenirs available?
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. Herb Gillen, thank you for speaking with us today. It's the 2024 Columbus Air Show, June 14, 15, and 16 at Rickenbacker International Airport. For Columbus Perspective, I'm Jay Fox.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Now, courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10TV, here's Doug Petcash from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10TV.
Central Ohio is experiencing all kinds of growth these days. New, huge businesses are coming in. More people are moving in. Roads are being built. All signs of progress. But not all growth is positive, as a recent report shows us. The number of people experiencing homelessness in Columbus and Franklin County jumped again this year. In January, more than 200 volunteers fanned out across the city and county to count the number of men, women, children, and families who don't have a permanent place to call home. They tallied the number numbers of those staying in shelters and those living on the streets. Community Shelter Board did its 2024 point-in-time count in partnership with Continuum of Care. They released their report at the end of April. And here's what they found. The number of people experiencing homelessness jumped nearly 2% from 2023 to 2024. The number climbed from 2,337 individuals to 2,380. The Community Shelter Board says that is an all-time high. Of those, 514 were living outside. 1,866 people were counted living in shelters or transitional housing. You can see the increases there on your screen. This is on top of a 22% increase in the number of homeless counted from 2022 to 2023. Joining me now to talk about the count, the reasons for the uptick, and what's being done about it is Community Shelter Board President and CEO Shannon Isom. Shannon, welcome to Face the State.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Well, let's set the base first. Yes. What is Community Shelter Board? What does it do?
Community Shelter Board is a 38-year old legacy here, very much centered on Franklin County, the Columbus region. And it was made and produced to have everyday, moment-by-moment thinking on homelessness. And so there's three main things that we do, the first being that we ready the system around homelessness. We ensure that we have partners, that we have resources that are readied for things like this, a large increase. The second is that we work with federal and state as well as local partners to ensure that we have financial resources for those partners. And then thirdly, we ensure that we are prospectively thinking about what's next in homelessness.
Now, I understand that you don't run shelters, but that you work with eight or nine or so in this area. What do you do in partnership with them?
The first thing that we do more than anything is to ensure that we're working with the Continuum of Care, our local governing body, to ensure that we have compliance with HUD, the federal entity that is giving us funding, making sure that we are moving through the markers of what our country has committed to for housing. But the most important thing that we do is to ensure funding for those partners. And we look at that contract every year. Those partners will come back to us and say, this is what it feels like to operationalize for those goals. Mm-hmm. And so it does become a mutual reciprocal relationship. And then we can go back. We can go back to the county. We can go back to our federal stakeholders and say, we need more money for this. Or have we thought about this? This is a continued gap. We are at a season right now that across this country, though, we are seeing increasing levels of homelessness. So Franklin County and Columbus is not alone in this as the federal HUD system tries to figure this out.
How do you characterize the growth in homelessness that this year's point in time count found?
Yeah, I'd characterize it as first that we're all concerned, and I would tell you that probably many of your listeners in our constituency is thinking about it first top of mind. And at this point, I would also say that this is a homeless problem is something that every industry is talking about it. Whether I can spend my week now speaking to the superintendent all the way to business leaders, as well as any of our public health officials talking about homelessness. So we know that this is affecting everything. I would characterize this as a season that we are looking at as of last year, which is the highest increase that we've ever seen
in homelessness.
The 22%. That now we're, although it looks like it's nominal, 1.8%, it is still on top of the highest increase we've ever seen. So we're still at a high increasing rate of homelessness. And I think it's concerning for all of us.
We'll get to some of the reasons for that in a minute, but who are the people that you're seeing experiencing homelessness? Is there a trend in the demographics? Who are these folks?
Yeah, we get that a lot. Like, who's there? And we definitely have an idea of who we believe is homelessness, but I would tell you that based on the numbers that we're seeing and what our partners are telling us, dispel all of those ideas, that archetype of homelessness. We see everyone. We see youth in homeless conditions. We see moms with increasing levels of children coming into our shelters. We are seeing single men. We are seeing single moms. We are, you name it, we see it. What is the most concerning, though, and we're seeing these high levels of increases around elderly. Mm-hmm. You would not think that, and yet they are there. We're seeing higher levels of homelessness with people that are working. I'll tell you that one of the things that we are looking at that has changed in this last year is that less poverty is in our homelessness, more people that are working with jobs coming in with income are within our shelters.
So then what is causing that then? Older folks, perhaps fixed incomes, rising rents?
Exactly. Not only do we have rising rents, which we know is a marker across this entire country, that contributes heavily to homelessness. But there's a second factor. And when you have these two factors together, your community is dealing with high rates of homelessness. And that second factor is low vacancy rates. When we have 4% and under is what the industry says. When you have 4% and under vacancy rates, then you are contributing probably to homelessness. That means you've run out of housing. We're at 3.8%.
And you're seeing this chronic homelessness, yeah, right? Yeah. What's that defined as?
Yeah, we're seeing homelessness with chronic homelessness, meaning that there are people that have moved through our systems more than 3+ times. Our community members are experiencing homelessness, whether that is on the land or within our shelters, over and over and over again. And what we have as resources is not aligning them to break that trend. And so, yeah, we're seeing a high increase of that, over 40%.
So I also understand the city of Columbus recently announced a pretty historic amount of funding for community shelter board, $9.4 million.
Yes.
I believe they say it nearly tripled their usual annual investment in community shelter board. How critical is that funding, and then how will you use it?
Yeah, the city of Columbus has been an exceptional partner, and as I have come in, have allowed me to really challenge our status quo. And I think it's important for us to say and to think, and community shelter board to look prospectively to say, gosh, city of Columbus and others that are making these really difficult decisions to say, gosh, we can still get in front of this, which I think we can. Well, they trusted that, and they're using and gave us funds to certainly operate our emergency shelters. We have partners that are 365 days out of the year, even coming up on Memorial Day, where we'll see hot temperatures, working very hard to ensure that our community members that are experiencing homelessness will have the right resources. But the city did even beyond that. I had an ask that we want those people on the front line that are making $12 and $14 an hour to have a better wage, a better benefit, and ask the city to come up with a way to benefit that at $21 an hour.
How would they do that?
They did that. They brought in some of those dollars. So we have 5 emergency shelters that are able to have benefit of getting extra dollars for those frontline workers. We still need sustained dollars for them, and that's something we're still working on with that. But the city of Columbus has been working with us diligently.
Are you talking about it's kind of like a subsidy for their wages, that money is going directly to those people?
That money is going straight past through to those frontline workers. That's correct.
I also understand, is there an effort to perhaps free up more like hotel space,
yeah,
to take in families and individuals? Is that one of the ideas?
Yeah, the city itself, as well as this region, is moving through several economic markers that are really positive. But what we're also looking at in this very Midwest city, in this very Midwest state, is we have crumbling infrastructure. We have some infrastructure, some capital needs that need to be invested to some of those capital buildings. And that includes hotels and motels, but it also includes our infrastructure of housing and apartments that are older. Mm-hmm. We have some apartments that need some strong attention. We have seen it here. I'm sure that you all have covered it. We have 2 or 3 instances within Franklin County where we've had deteriorating apartments that has made people move very quickly into homelessness, or at least a destabilized state, mm-hmm, of housing. I think we're going to continue to see that. The answer to that, we believe, community shelter board, and we're putting forward to anyone who listens, is that we can take some of our underutilized buildings, hotels, motels, we have plenty of them that aren't either being used or being underutilized, and how do we repurpose them to make sure that they are readied, mm-hmm, so that people don't don't have to move into shelter but can move into single non-congregate spaces. And as we're seeing those that are moving through quick destabilization of housing, maybe even unhoused, that we will have a ready space for them to move into.
So they're not on the streets.
That's right.
Well, we only have a little bit of time left. I guess what is the focus, you know, today moving into this summer?
Yeah, the focus today and always as we move into the summer will always be temperature. Whether it's the winter or whether it's the summer, we're always thinking about temperature changes, and especially those people that are living on the land. We want to make sure that people have ready spaces. We want to make sure that we have spaces that are cooling center. And the city of Columbus has a long list on their website. They've always offered those things, and we are continuing to make sure that with any of our partners that we know exactly where to go with that. Secondly, we need to make sure that we're gearing up as we always should be for the winter. So how do we make sure that there's ready spaces around hotels and motels, but also working with our business community to ensure that there's also outreach services, that if people are in distress or in need, the businesses know where to call and that we know how to get people help.
And how can people get more information?
Any way of going on our website, we can always have that. Give us a call. We also have really ready resources to answer the phone and to ensure that they have right places to go. And then obviously the city of Columbus has a website that always has cooling centers on it as well.
Just look up Community Shelter Board.
That's right.
Shannon, thank you so much for your time and for laying out what the situation is right now, according to the count and what you're doing about it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Columbus Perspective is a public affairs presentation of WBNS Radio. The opinions expressed on this program are those of its guests and do not necessarily reflect those of WBNS Radio, its staff, management, or sponsors.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Here's more from Face the State, courtesy of 10TV.
House Bill 68, the transgender health care and women's sports bill, has garnered passionate debate on both sides. It's controversial and now is in the courts. Last week, the Supreme Court of Ohio rejected a request by the state to narrow a temporary restraining order, a TRO, which blocks the state from enforcing the measure. The law bans gender-affirming medical care for transgender youth and prohibits transgender athletes from playing women's and girls' school sports. The law was supposed to go into effect on April 24th until a lawsuit was filed against it. Now, a hearing on the injunction is scheduled to start July 15th. A spokesperson for the Ohio Attorney General's office gave a statement saying, quote, four Ohio Supreme Court justices share our concern as to whether one judge in a single county should be able to speak for the entire state and overrule the legislature, but they question whether this is the right case for taking up the issue. The ACLU, who filed the lawsuit, called the state's request egregious and says the scope of the temporary restraining order is necessary and appropriate to prevent the constitutional violations and other irreparable harm that would immediately occur if HB 68 were permitted to take effect. Again, a hearing is scheduled for mid-July.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
The death penalty took center stage in a hearing at the State House. Lawmakers heard a bill that would add nitrogen hypoxia as an alternative method of execution for death row inmates. Supporters of the bill had the chance to testify. Ohio hasn't carried out the death penalty since 2018. Governor Mike DeWine declared an unofficial moratorium on executions because the state can't get the necessary drugs for lethal injection. The bill would give those sentenced to death the option to choose between lethal injection or nitrogen hypoxia. hypoxia. But nitrogen hypoxia would have to be used if lethal injection drugs are not available. Alabama used the method earlier this year. Attorney General Dave Yost testified in favor of the bill. He says the death penalty is appropriate for the worst of the worst and says the state should use nitrogen hypoxia.
This seems to be available, relatively straightforward, and we don't have supply problems. Nitrogen is in the air around you. You breathe it every moment of the day. It's easy to extract. It's easy to buy. We don't have to rely on the whims of a pharmaceutical company.
The bill has a ways to go. This was just the second hearing on it. Opponents will likely get the chance to testify at a future hearing.
I've been driving trucks for a long time. Safety is my number one priority. I know that my truck has huge blind spots. That's why I remember to check my mirrors often for smaller vehicles. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're behind the wheel, try to avoid lingering in those blind spots. It can be dangerous. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Ohio lawmakers say the state is in a child care crisis and the time to act is now. They say the average cost for child care for one child is between $8,500 and $11,500 per year. Two lawmakers introduced companion bills they say will help working families, businesses, and child care providers. Under their bills in the House and Senate, the cost would be split three ways. The families needing child care, their employer, and the state would each pay a third. Lawmakers are focusing on this issue. Eight bills related to child care have now been introduced in the last couple weeks.
Again, that's Doug Petcash, courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10TV. From the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10TV. This has been Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. Heard each Sunday morning at 6 on WBNS-FM 97.1 The Fan and on 1460 AM ESPN Columbus.